Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are back. We are live. Yes, sir. Taking Limits Off. Woo. Radio. It is Friday, October 29th, 2016. And Taking Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor. Well, that's where the studio is located, but that ain't where I am. But anyway, we have a good show for you today. Today's conversation should be good. Man, look, watch this. Praise Break Friday. How can a church best support its worship staff? How can a church best support its worship staff? Look here, y'all. This is going to be good. We are broadcasting live. Taking Limits Off is broadcasting live from Cincinnati, Ohio. That's right. Your boy got a bowling tournament this here weekend, and that's where I am. So this is good. This is good. Excited. Let me give you all the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you are listening, you've already called in. If you're listening, just push one. You've already called in on your phone. Just push one. You know the routine. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. All right. We apologize for that. Sorry, having some technical difficulties. Not sure what's going on. You know, it's always something when you're working remote. You are at the mercy of your location. So sometimes stuff just happens. But we are good. We are all good. Anyway, as I was saying, we are live. If you are on social media, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to email the show, real easy to do. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Again, that's to email the show at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read that email on the Facebook Live. Might not be an option today. I know for a fact Ustream is not an option today, so we apologize for that. Can't do everything when you're on the road. At least not yet. But Facebook Live might be an option as soon as I get off of this current Wi-Fi and switch to something else, we will be good to go. But I do appreciate you all's patience in this. This is good. And last but not least, you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to our podcast. Real easy to do. The podcast account is real simple to get to. Simply go to your iTunes account, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net, Taking the Limits Off at Comcast.net. That's how you reach us. We'll be glad to hear from you. If I can get my producer, wherever she is, to get on our messaging system so I know that the sound is good. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate it. Man, so look at we are good. We are good to go, good to go, good to go. So much, man. I first have to say a big thank you to Pastor Cornelius Parks for last week, all coming in, sitting in with us last week. And then this past this week, he was in on Monday, and then him and the good Cardinal Michael Henderson joined in with us on Wednesday, and it was hilarious. I've only heard good reviews from the show, and everybody seemed to enjoy it. So looking forward to seeing how that's going to turn out in the near future. But it was a good time, man. I really, really enjoyed it so much. Again, so much stuff has been happening and going on. But that was good, man. And it's good to have the contrasting styles. I think it simply adds to what we do here on the show. It's always something good, something fun. You know that we do. So I'm excited. I'm excited about where Taking Limits Off is going in the future. I really am. I'm really excited about that. So it's going to be fun. So look here, y'all. I'm gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play some music for us. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna play some music for us. And when we get back, we're gonna jump right into today's conversation. Right? All right. We're gonna be right back. TT, LO. Y'all stay blessed.
Young people, going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on, you know, we gotta Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it. Wait. Think I wanna hit the horns.
Yes, sir. We are back live. Yes, sir. We are back live, broadcasting from Cincinnati, Ohio. Yeah, your boy down here at the Hoinky Classic, getting ready to get it in. I'm excited. But look, I appreciate you all for sticking with the show. Man, look, it is amazing. You guys are a blessing to the show. Look, we were able to go Facebook Live. Facebook Live just came on. Facebook Live is on. You all can simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio, and you should be able to find the live broadcast there. Let me make sure that's up and running and move that over there real quick. Yeah, there we go. All right. Yeah. We good. So look here, real quick, man. So see, everybody was panicking about the Chicago Cubs. Everybody was panicking, right? And guess what? We won, right? So now it's all tied up. It's all 1-1, and we are ready to go tonight, right? I think it's tonight. Is the game tonight? I believe it's tonight. Y'all help me out. Y'all know I be messing up. But, yeah, I believe the game is tonight. I'm excited, man. This is going to be good. Game 3, and it's at Wrigley Field. Man, this is crazy. I know Chi-Town is going to be crazy tonight. I know it's going to be crazy. And man, once again, we are rooting for it. And if y'all didn't notice, I have been a Cub fan my whole life. I ain't no late coming to the game. I ain't no last minute jump on the bandwagon kind of dude. I have been a long suffering Cub fan for a long, long time. So I am going to enjoy this however the outcome. I am going to enjoy this. That's just real talk. So do me a favor. If you just joined in on Facebook Live, hit that share button for me. Share this with your friends. Share this with your people. Man, this is going to be good. Okay, so I got to talk about it, y'all. And I know, like most of us, we'll all be tired when we get ready to when this election is over. So, again, we got more of this. We got some more emails leaked yesterday from Hillary Clinton, right? We got some more emails leaked from Hillary, and now it seems like there was a whole lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. This is what I was trying to explain to people. It's not that you know, we know Donald Trump is crazy. That's not even an issue. We get that. My issue, or the larger scale issue, comes from the fact that we know Trump is crazy. We get that, right? But Hillary has this, there's just this air of untrustworthiness about her, right? So because there's this air of untrustworthiness about her, it's going to constantly, every time they come up with something new, you see, whoever this is releasing her emails, they're releasing them every day. Every day we get a new stream of emails listed, or released rather, from Hillary, and it's exactly what, you know, it's more of this stuff going on behind the scenes, how, you know, she was using the supposed email server even before she became Secretary of State, because she let, you know, and she let people know our personal emails, any email that you send on a .gov that ends in .gov is subject to use from the government, because they own it. Even though it could have been a personal email, it could have been you sharing your grandmother's secret recipe. Well, if you shared it on a .gov server, then they had the right to pull that information. So she understood that other server. The problem is she had some communications on this server that she should not have had, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is. So we need to, you know, but it's just constantly more and more of this stuff that's continuing to come out, and I'm assuming they're, you know, they're trying to manipulate the election. They're trying to do whatever it is they're going to do. But I think at this point, now here's something interesting. I was driving through Ohio last night, and in certain parts, you know, Ohio, it tends to lean Republican, but it's what we call a swing state, right? It's meaning that it could go either way. So it's not really red. It's more like a purple or something like that. So it could go either way. It could go red or blue. But as I'm driving around, I'm seeing all these large Trump and Pence signs all throughout. Now, mind you, they sitting in front of some large houses. So I know what, you know what I'm saying? I know where I'm at. So you know, in the suburb of Ohio, it's all Trump. I'm guessing when I drive back to the bowling alley towards the city, I'm going to see some Clinton signs. So it's going to be interesting how this whole thing turns out, man. I'm just really, really over it. I did get to watch, I don't know if you saw it or not, Trump sat down with, what is the guy's name on Good Morning America? George Stephanopoulos. He sat down with him, his whole family. They sat down yesterday and did an interview. And it's just, you know, I've never seen, don't get me wrong, I think when you accomplish some great things, you know, you should be proud of them. So, but there's a difference between being proud and being, as some would say, braggadocious, if I can use that word, because he likes to say, I built some of the most amazing structures on the planet. These things will last a lifetime, long after I'm gone. But yeah, now what we're finding out is a lot of people are upset with the Trump brand. So what they're trying to do, especially on some of the larger residential buildings, they want the name removed. Now, I can see both sides of this. Donald Trump has always been who Donald Trump is. And you knew who Donald Trump was. Had you done any reading, had you done any research, you would have known who Donald Trump was years ago, long before he ran for president. So you should not be shocked and surprised today. Okay, you should not be shocked and surprised today. Now, let me help y'all out. When y'all come in the chat room, people, y'all know the routine. Y'all supposed to say hi. Say hello when you come in. When you come in on Facebook Live, speak to the people in the room. Y'all being real rude right now. I'm just saying, y'all know. Say hello. Say good afternoon. Whatever it is. I'm an hour ahead of y'all here in Ohio, but y'all can still speak. It's 1 o'clock here, 1:25, 12:25 back home. But y'all, you know, speak to the people when you come in the room. Let's not be rude. We supposed to be Christians. Come on now, help out your boy. Come on, help your boy out. But anyway, you knew who he was when you got involved with him. So you can't turn around and be surprised when he does the things that he does. You can't be surprised by that. I mean, it's just not, it doesn't even make sense, because he's been this way for years. And the fact that he has always been somewhat rude, somewhat a braggart, somewhat anti women, you know, like feminist sort of way, you know, he's always been this way. So this isn't new information. So, but now, because he is making himself more known, he's making himself more known, and now it's embarrassing. Now you don't want to be a part of it. So, you know, I just find it interesting. That this is where we are with this situation. But, you know, even here in Chicago, or there in Chicago, I should say, when he built that building, the mayor and everybody was upset that he put his name on the side of the building. Because, see, he likes everything to look like Vegas. Let's just be honest. He wants everything to be in bright lights, big, huge, like Vegas. And, you know, Chicago is not that type of deal, but he was able to do it because, hey, they didn't tell him up front, and the contract was signed. What he did was legal, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, yeah. So that's that. But, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. I'm with the rest of y'all. Come November 8th, the last time we going to talk politics, or at least, you know, anything new political on the show, will be November the 9th. That's the Wednesday after the election. So we only got one more week of this, y'all. We only got one more week of this. You know, trust me, ain't nothing like a good countdown. Because trust me, I've been counting down. Ain't nothing like a good countdown. Amen. 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 Anyway, real quick. So one of those sports tidbits. So the basketball season started. And did y'all happen to catch, you know, a lot of stuff happened. Cleveland opened their series up on, what was that, Monday night? Was that Tuesday night? Tuesday night. Cleveland opened up their series, got their rings and everything in Cleveland. You know, good times, all that good stuff. Then the Bulls opened up their home thing last night. And you know what? I saw bits and pieces. It was weird. Was it weird for anybody else to see Dwayne Wade in a Chicago Bulls uniform? Seriously, was it weird for anybody else? I don't know, but it was a little odd. It looked a little different. But hey, he played, and you know they paying dude $47 million for 2 years. $47 million for 2 years. So I mean, you know, hey, he balled out though. He balled last night. I did not pay attention to the score, so I don't know if they won or not because I really don't follow the Bulls like that. However, I'm just saying it was that good. What's up, Pastor Parks? Come on in the room, man. Come on. Say hello to the people. Come on in. Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. I do. But like I said, so much is going on right now, but it was just good. Good to see you too, man. Good to see you. What's going on, boss? What's going on? I'm good, man. Broadcasting live from Ohio. Good times. So look, y'all, this is it. We have this really, really good article. And you know it's Praise Break Friday, so that's what we do. We try to gear our articles to be about, you know, praise, worship, the whole praise and worship aspect of the Christian church service. That's what we try to gear our articles toward on Friday. And this particular article is going to be really, really good. Again, it's how can church best support its worship staff? Because it is important that you do. It is. It's very important that you support your worship staff. So that's going to be that conversation. So look, this is what we're going to do. Because I don't have the luxury of being able to go over time today. You know, I don't have that luxury. I ain't at home in the good old studio. And man, y'all know what? Show you how the Lord work, right? I got a phone call this morning, real quick. Got a phone call this morning because our food pantry is normally downstairs, you know, at the church on Fridays, and they use the internet to log in the people who come for the food to get the food. Well, I got a phone call this morning about 10:15 saying that, hey, we can't get on the internet. And I'm like, whoa. So, and I went, definitely, sure enough, went to the Comcast business website. Guess what? There's an outage in the area, which means what? Had we been in the studio today, probably wouldn't have been able to get on because we had no internet. Look at God. Ha! Come on, somebody. That's a reason right there to get your shout on right there. Y'all might not recognize that. You might not think that's a real big deal, but I'm going to say it again. Look at God. That's something to be excited about because, hey, I could have been in the studio mad that I couldn't get on trying to figure out why I can't get no service, no nothing. But look here, not in the studio, on the road, and get the phone call, no internet. Man, y'all better come on and give God some praise in the room. Somebody better come in a little bit. Just give him, man, can we just get a little quick 30 second praise break for the people. Can we just get a 30-second praise break for the people? Come on, somebody. Come on in here. Come on.
You know what?
Come on.
That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you the Lord changed your mind. Some of you God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabak in this house.
All right. I know they say he crazy. He did not. You didn't have to do all that. I know. Yes, I did. So look, again, this is going to be good. How can a church best support its worship staff? How can a church best support its worship staff? So this is what I'm going to do. Those of you on Facebook Live, again, there is no stream today. Not have a Ustream available today because we're on the road, so only got one camera. Only got that one camera. So no Ustream today. But again, the article, you can find it, on churchleaders.com, and it's under the articles for worship. It is good. And man, some people might not recognize the importance of how important your praise and worship ministry is, and how they need the support, especially, or as Pastor Michael Henderson would say, especially from the leadership team, in the church. It's a necessary thing, because you cannot have a successful praise and worship ministry if they're not supported, and I mean supported wholeheartedly, by your leadership team. It's just one of those things you can't. There's no getting around that. So we gonna jump right into that. So look, y'all, I'm gonna take a real quick break. Gonna take a real quick break, and when we come back, I'm gonna jump right into that conversation. Y'all stay blessed. I'm going to take a break on the radio side. Facebook Live, I'm going to stay live with y'all. Those people listening on the radio might miss a little bit. They're going to have a praise break. I'm going to stay live with y'all. We're going to be right back, y'all. TTLO. We'll be right back. going on? We are back. We are back live. Y'all look here. Look here. I hope y'all enjoyed that little praise break. We are back live. We are back live, back live, back live. This is going to be good. So we have this outstanding article, right? Man, I'm excited about it. It's going to be really, really good. Again, it's entitled, How Can a Church Best Support Its Praise and Worship Staff? How can a church best support its praise and worship staff? This is good, man. This is really going to be good. It's on churchleaders.com. Again, it's under the articles for worship. And I'm telling you, this is one of the better articles that we've done. We do great articles all the time, but this one right here just really hits home for me. And I hope I'm going to change the angle of this camera real quick, because it's like I got to hold it up on the screen. So y'all bear with me for a hot second. We're going to sit that. Yeah, well, I tried to do that. All right, let's see that. Is that going to work for me? Let's do it this way. All right. There we go. All right. See, we're doing too much stuff over here. There we go. All right. You good right there, sir? Yeah, sit there. All right, camera. Good. Okay. So I'm going to put that over there. I don't want y'all to think I'm ignoring y'all. All right. Let's go. So I just gave you guys the article on Facebook Live. How can a church best support its worship staff? This is an older article. It was written in 2011, but it is as relevant. Did I say relevant? See, somebody would have caught that, like elephant. But it is relevant. See, I catch myself. Y'all don't get to talk about me. It's relevant for today. It is relevant for today. It is actually going to be good. This is good stuff. So he simply says this. The writer is Bob Coughlin. Bob Coughlin actually writes for churchleaders.com as well. But this article is on Christianity Today, and it's under pastors. And I told you it was on Church Leaders, but it's actually under ChristianityToday.com. And it's entitled, once again, How Can Church Best Support Its Worship Staff? This is what it says. The writer says, I heard not too long ago that the average worship leader lasts 2 years in the job. This is what the writer says. She says, while I'm sure that the worship leaders and their staff are a significant part of the problem, it says pastors can fail to offer the kind of support that contributes to a long-term fruitful relationship. The writer says, what can you do to serve your staff? Here are 5 ideas. Again, let me say this, and the article is going to break down some of the same things, so I don't want to be repetitive, so I'm going to let the article speak for itself, and I'll add my 2 cents. It's simply got about 5, I think it's got 5 points. It's got 5 points to the article, but they are. When I tell you they are relevant points, they really are. Let's jump right in. Remember, y'all come in the chat room. Say hi. Looking for your feedback. Give me something. Let me know you're there. So this is what he says. Where are you? I love your the potential color for your background. I'm in Ohio, Angela. I'm in Ohio. I'm in a bowling tournament. I got to go bowl when I get off the air. So I'm at a bowling tournament right now. So this is my chance to do the show. So in Ohio, doing what we do. That's what we do. Thank you. All right, so this is what the writer says. Number one, he says, engage them. The writer says, God never intended pastors to check out when it comes to planning musical portions of a meeting. It says, even if you can't sing a note, you're responsible to make sure that people are being pastored and taught through the songs they sing. My God. He says, use whatever format works best for you, emails, phone calls, meetings. Just make sure that you are regularly communicating with your worship staff about what they're doing and what challenges they are facing. Now, let me say this. Nobody wants to be up singing their heart out. It's bad enough to have to deal with members who might not feel like being in church that morning, or who might be zoned out looking somewhere else. But if anything, at least my pastor should be engaged enough with the worship staff to understand what we're doing. Because if the pastor and the praise team are on the same page, then guess what? You got a major support system standing behind you. So when you're up praising God, when you're up praising God and the pastor is up with you, because a lot of times, people don't really understand praise and worship because they have not been taught. but people follow the leadership of the pastor. And if they see the pastor engaged, come on, somebody. If they see the pastor, somebody say engaged. If they see the pastor engaged in worship, then 9 times out of 10, they're going to follow not just the worship leader who's standing in front, but they're also going to follow what the pastor is doing. Let me read this. Says Angela says, folks shouldn't have to stand up, stop worship because you choose not to be present. It is necessary. It is necessary. I believe if it can be helped, it can, if it can be helped, because let's be honest, at the end of the day, the pastor is the worship leader. After all the songs and stuff, pastor is the chief worship leader of the church. And how he worships dictates how the rest of the church worships. How he worships it dictates how the rest of the church worships. Come on. Angela, what you say? Yeah, engage. You're talking. Yeah. Pastor Parks. The church takes the identity of its leader. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's just one of the things. The church takes on the identity of its leader. And if the leader is not engaged in praise and worship, then if the church sees the pastor doing everything but participating, then what do you think the church is going to do during this process? Seriously, what exactly do you think? Come on now, when y'all come in the room, y'all know the routine. When you come in the room, when you come in the room, say hello in the chat room. We want Facebook Live. Do me a favor, y'all, when you come on live, hit the share button, share it with your friends, share it with your people. Come on, help a brother out, help us out. Come on, don't say the word all for yourself, share this thing. So let's go. Number two, this is a huge one. Number two, equip them. The writer says this. He says, among other things, oh my God, he says, among other things, your worship staff needs to be trained. My. Your worship staff needs to be trained. He says, theologically, practically, and spiritually. One pastor had me read Engaging with God by David Peterson when I first arrived at his church. He says, it rocked my world and changed the way I lead worship. I need to look at that. Engaging with God. Let me see if that's on. In the Kindle. I'm going to have to get that. But again, he says he had me read this when I first arrived at his church. He says it rocked my world and changed the way I lead worship. He says include money. Watch this now. Include money. It looked like I froze. I hope I didn't freeze on live, y'all. It froze in front of me, but I hope I didn't freeze. You never know what's going on around here. But it says include money in your budget for books, videos, and even an occasional conference to help your staff grow. It says it not only develops their skills, but says volumes about your care. Come on now. See, that in itself is enough for me to recognize that it is very, very important that we recognize exactly what's required to be a part of a worship staff. It's important that we recognize the requirement of being a part of a worship staff. It requires money. They are going to need some things. If you're trying to highlight your praise and worship team, then guess what? It behooves you to make sure they have good equipment. It behooves you to make sure that they have good microphones, good audio, good sound. It to make sure they have good musicians around them. This is necessary. Let's see here. Cornelius Parks, lead by example. You're absolutely right, Pastor Parks. Lead by example. You are absolutely right. You cannot, I cannot stress this again, everybody follows their leader. If the leader ain't involved, then why should I be? If I see my pastor don't really want to be a part of this, then I'm thinking he just tolerating it, so should I. If he's just tolerating this thing, then so should I. Because that a lot of times that's the perception, and perception matters. Believe it or not, y'all, perception matters. You cannot go through this thing and people don't recognize and people recognize your lack of caring on the matter. You just can't. It does not work that way. It doesn't. Trust me when I tell you, it does not work that way. And if you think it does, you're causing more harm, not only to your praise and worship staff, but also to your congregation, because they aren't going to take you seriously either. Trust me when I tell you, they are not going to take you seriously either. Look here, I understand we're having some issues on Facebook Live. Hey, y'all, look, you know, it is what it is. I can't tell you what's going on. It freezes, it stops, it's going. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep doing the show because I got a whole bunch of people listening who can't see me. So we're going to get it together. It's going to come back on at some point. I'm praying. That's going to be our prayer. That's going to be our prayer. Amen. That's all we can do, y'all. That's all we can do. Is hope that works it on out. That's all we can do. But look here, it's just important, man. But let me keep going. Number three. It says encourage them. Oh my God, encourage them. This has to be to me, and this is just Dana talking. This has to be probably one of the most. This could have been number one. This could have been the whole article. Encourage them. They need to be encouraged because first of all, it takes guts to stand in front of people and sing. It takes guts because praise and worship, there's a level of vulnerability to it. And it takes some serious guts to stand up before people, pouring out your heart, showing—it's literally presenting yourself almost naked before the Lord. Seriously, that's exactly what it is. And to do that, and be in front of people, it takes a certain amount of courage to do that. It takes a certain amount of courage to do that. And so those people need constant encouragement, and they need that encouragement from leadership. They need that encouragement from leadership. You cannot expect them. You cannot expect them to continue on without some encouragement from you. I know what some people are going to say. Well, you know, they up there doing it for the Lord. So it don't take me to why do I have to be the one to encourage them? See, that tells you how small-minded you are. That tells you how small-minded you are when it comes to when it comes to the importance of praise and worship. That tells you how so far removed you are from praise and worship. I thank y'all so much for coming back. I had to end that stream on Facebook Live and start a second one. You can just come on back in, share, hit the share button. Come on, hit the share button. Come on back in and hit the share button so people know that it's back on and it's back going. Come on. But let's talk about it. Encourage them. This is what he says. Remember, when y'all come back in on the new stream, hit the share button because you need to share the new stream because the old one don't work no more. Let's go. He says this. If you never encourage your worship staff, they can be tempted toward discouragement. He says, but encouragement is more than telling them great job. It says, look for and express specific ways they excelled. Ah, he says, that song you chose was the perfect way to respond to my message. See, this ain't even just for praise and worship. This is for your whole worship team, your choir, your minister of music. All of this stuff applies. Look at what he says. He says, don't just tell them they did a great job. Point out specific ways that they excelled. He says, that song you chose was the perfect way to respond to my message. That new arrangement of Amazing Grace, wow, says really highlights the words. Or he says, thanks for consistently modeling joy when you lead. Oh, my God. He says, I've heard that an ample budget for music and sound equipment can be encouraging, too. Oh, my God. Watch this. You have a group of people who are standing before God every week, giving their absolute best, giving their absolute best. The least we can do is encourage them. Pastors, preachers, bishops, apostles, you need to make sure you are encouraging your music staff. And not just saying great job. You have to pick out specific things. There's another piece that's coming up, but this is strictly talking about the encouragement piece. Because guess what? It is hard for them. I don't care how talented they are. I don't care how great they can sing. I don't care how wonderful they can play the organ or the drums or the guitar. They should hear from you some encouraging words. It's necessary for the pastors of churches to encourage their worship leaders, encourage your ministry, your music ministry, encourage your praise team, encourage the choir directors, encourage the drummer, encourage the guitar player. It's different when it comes from the pastor. See, you know, the congregation is fickle. They're going to clap one Sunday and the next Sunday they ain't. But as a leader, it's no different than a manager on a job. It's no different than a supervisor on the job. If somebody is doing a good job, you should let them know, hey, great job on that project. Great job on that report. It's necessary that you do this. It's necessary that you do this. Because if you don't, people fall into discouragement. You don't want your staff to be discouraged. You don't want the people around you who are responsible for delivering worship music to the congregation to be discouraged. Because if they think you don't appreciate what they do, if you don't recognize what they do, then why? Come on now. Then why should they? And I understand this for God. Please don't send me no crazy emails. Please don't. Again, we're discussing this great article, How Can a Church Best Support Its Worship Staff? The article is on ChristianityToday.com. It's a really, really good article. I do need to share the article again because this is a new link. Let me share the article again with y'all real quick. But, man, it's a necessity that we encourage the staff. Here's the deal. I honestly believe – And there could be some pastors who disagree with me, but I believe the worship piece, when it comes to the music in the church, I believe it is as important as the word of God that's being delivered. Watch this, because your message might not touch somebody that morning, but a song might touch them in a way that your message could not. A song might touch them in a way that your message could not. I mean, seriously, you cannot understand or belittle the importance of praise and worship. You know what I'm saying? You have to, and then you ought to want to show up. Watch this. You ought to want to show up at your praise team or your choir's rehearsal, just to give them a little encouragement, just to say, hey, you know what, y'all? I really like that song. Because now that they know that's one of your favorites, now guess what? They're encouraged to maybe, you know what, either rehearse that thing a little bit more, add a little something to it, put a little extra flavor to it, because they know it's one of your favorites. So to distance yourself, and then you show up on Sunday, and then they sing a song, and it hit or it missed, and then you got to look on your face like, well, why did they sing that? Well, I got a question for you, pastor, bishop, whoever you are. How come you don't show up at a couple of choir rehearsals? How come you don't show up at a couple of rehearsals and find out what it is they're singing? See how they're operating. Maybe there's some strife in the choir. Maybe there's some strife on the praise team. Maybe somebody in the choir is going through some heartache or something. And you, because you're disconnected, you don't recognize that. But if you showed up at the choir, at choir rehearsal or praise team rehearsal or musicians rehearsal and said, you know what, I'm just here to pray with y'all. I'm just here to encourage you with some prayer. You know what that would do to, you know what that would mean to some people that you took some time out to come down to the church on a day that you probably normally wouldn't be there, and just to come in and say, you know what, I'm just here to pray for you all because I appreciate what you do, because I recognize how hard your job is, and I'm here just to pray and encourage you. that goes a long way to the success of adding to the success of a great worship team. It really does. It really does. And we can't afford to miss that. We can't afford to miss those opportunities. You really can't. You really can't. Let me give you guys the article again, because I know some folk just got in on Facebook Live. They just got in on this second article. There's the article right there. You can click it on it right there. There's the article. Again, when you come into the room, make sure you share this. Please, please, please share this. Please share this. Don't hog this for yourself. There's another part of this encouragement piece that stuck out for me. He says, be specific. He says, be specific about what you're encouraging them on, or what you want to talk to them about when you're giving them some praise. It's just like when God blesses you. Okay, come on, can we take it there? When God blesses you with something, when God heals a family member from a disease or an ailment, you thank God. Come on now, you thank God for healing them from that particular ailment. You don't just say thank you, Lord. I don't think any of us pray like this. Oh Lord, just thank you. Thank you for being great. I'm sorry. Lord, you did a great job. Good job, Lord. No. When we pray to God, we're specific. We say, Lord, thank you for delivering me from that thing. God, thank you for breaking me away from that thing. God, thank you for healing my family. God, thank you for restoring my home. God, thank you for keeping my job. God, thank you for me not being a part of that 12-car pileup I saw on the expressway. God, thank you for whatever. You're specific. So the same way you thank God, you're specific about thanking God. When you pull your worship team to the side and you want to be encouraging to them, encourage them with specific information. Encourage them with specific information. We cannot afford to be blasé and general about this thing. We can't. It just doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, let's keep going. Again, we're talking about how can a church best support its worship staff? How can a church best support its worship staff? Again, the article is on ChristianityToday.com under the pastor section. Again, this article is more than 5 years old, but it is as relevant today as it was probably 5 years ago when the writer wrote it. This is good. So, again, the first one, let me go back. The first point he made was engage them. The second point was equip them. The third point was encourage them. Now we're moving to number four. Number four says this. This is good. Number four says this. Evaluate them. Evaluate them. He says this, and this is good. He says, you're not serving your worship staff by holding back critique. They need it. He says, as long as it's rooted in objective evaluation and not your personal pet peeves. He says, and when it comes to pointing out ways they could serve the church more effectively, brief and specific is better than long and vague. Brief and specific is better than long and vague. Y'all need a little help. Preacher, can you put it in context? Okay, let me help you. Let's say church starts at 11 o'clock. Okay, Black Baptist churches, most of us start at 11 o'clock. Okay, you want your praise team to sing, start at 11 o'clock. Matter of fact, you already want the musicians to be playing before the praise team even get up there. Right? Right. Okay, so when you sit down and if you notice that they don't start on time, then the objective criticism is this. You simply say, hey, I would like to make sure we start our services on time so that we can respect people's time. People who make an effort to get here on time, the service should start on time. So what do I need to do? See how you work together with your team? What do I need to do to help you all make sure that when the clock strikes 11 o'clock, worship has started? It's real simple. It's not difficult to do. Same thing with your choir. If you expect your choir to be in the choir stand at a certain time, you be objective about it. You let them know, hey, you know what? It looks bad when it's 11, 5 minutes after 11, and here come five of y'all walking from the back, robe half zipped up. Here come three more coming the other direction, putting their one arm of the robe is in the sleeve, the other one you dragging behind you. It looks bad. So what can we do? What can I do to make sure that when this time comes, because it is important, that's not a pet peeve, that's respecting people's time. Amen, amen. So let me see what it says here. Angela Johnson, respect folks' time, respect folks' time. Amen, you have to. You have to. You know, it's like Pastor Parks and Michael Henderson said the other day, hey, you ain't got to be in church all day. It don't take no 2-3 hours to do what you got to do. It don't take all that. We should be respectful of folks' time. We absolutely should. So then this is what he says. He says, I like the first part of this. He says, you're not serving your worship staff by holding back critique. Wow. Wow. You're not serving your worship staff by holding back critique. So see, a lot of times you'll see things that you believe need to be corrected, but you don't say anything. How can you? So, but then you have this look, or rather than you going to the worship team, you go talk to everybody else. Rather than you going to the person who can fix the situation, you go and pass this information. You know what? We call that being passive aggressive. Instead of you confronting the issue the way that you should, instead of you confronting the issue, you decide that you're going to go and you're going to talk to 10 or 15 other people about the situation. Not good. Not good. That's not what leaders do. That's not what leaders do. Again, we're talking about how can a church best support its worship staff. It's so important. I really don't think we understand or get how important the worship piece is when it comes to church services. Because it is, and I'll say this again, it is just as important. It is just as important as the word. It is just as important as the word going forth. It is just as important. There's no getting around that. There really isn't. And until we recognize that, you know, we're always going to be this constant struggle. There shouldn't be a competition between praise teams and choirs. It shouldn't be a competition, because at the end of the day, we're all serving the same God. But see, if the pastor plays favorites, If the pastor plays favorites, then what do you think is going to happen? If the pastor is not engaged, following up with the worship staff, with the praise team, with the choir, with the musicians, then there's going to always be this disconnect. So when the writer says evaluate, that means, guess what? You are going to have to show up at some choir rehearsals. So you can find out if you're having issues with your choir on Sunday morning, right? And you have a couple of issues and you see them, the best thing for you to do as a leader or a pastor is to show up at a rehearsal. Because see, you showing up shows them that you care about what they do. You know what? I equate it to Chicago Public Schools. If I'm not mistaken, Chicago Public Schools just getting ready to give out their first year report cards. Somebody help me out with that. I believe the first quarter, or whatever they call it, report cards, did they just go out this week or last week or whatever it is? Watch this. Parents who care about their children's performance show up at parent-teacher conference. Right? They show up to find out why little Johnny or little Sally got the grades they got, right? So especially if they see, if you are a concerned parent, you're going to want to know, well, I don't ever see him come home with homework. Do you give homework? I see you sent these bad reports home. I need to come up here and find out what's going on for myself. So a pastor, if you're having issues with your worship groups, whether it be the praise team or the choir or the musicians, then guess what? You need to start to show up at some rehearsals. Maybe if you showed up at rehearsal and then you would see what was the reasoning behind you see the reasoning, what's the reason behind the disconnect on Sunday? Because if you see that the rehearsals aren't going well, or excuse me, can I go here? If you see you got five folks at rehearsal on whatever night your choir rehearsal is, if you see you got five people at choir rehearsal, but 15 in the choir on Sunday, that's going to give you your first answer as to what's going on with your music. Angela, what'd you say? Yes, sir, I don't have no more in there, but baby, they knew me. I love it. But I'm serious. You have to play an active role in the development of these groups. Just like a parent plays an active role in their child's education, you as a pastor play an active role in the education of your worship staff. You need to make sure that they're spiritually grounded. You need to make sure that the choir rehearsals are spiritually grounded. I've seen some choirs and some praise teams. Matter of fact, I've seen some choirs and some praise teams have some wonderful worship rehearsals. I mean, have some choir rehearsals and some praise team rehearsals or some youth choir rehearsals that were spirit-filled. Because all of a sudden they recognize what it is they were singing about and who it is they were singing about. But that's why you have to show up. You can't be so disconnected. You can't be so disconnected from the choir and from your music department and then be surprised when you get mess on Sunday. Come on, somebody. You can't be surprised when you get messed on Sunday and then you want to look around and find out. No, how about you get up off your blessed assurance? Get up off your blessed assurance and show up down there at the church house on the night of the rehearsal and find out what's really going on. And then, like the third point of the article said, encourage them. Pray with the choir. Pray with the praise team. Pray with the musicians. Let them know that you care about it and let them know how important that music piece is to the church. You have to. There's no getting around that. There really isn't. Let's keep going. My. This is good. Bless y'all so much. Ooh, for following along. Bless y'all. Let's go. Number five. Again, we're talking about how can a church best support its worship staff. Again, number one, you engage them. Number two, equip them. Number three, encourage them. The one we just did. Number four, evaluate them. Now, watch this. Number five. Oh, this is important. Be an example. Number five, be an example. What does it say? I like that. Get off your blessed shirt. I borrowed that from Pastor of the good Cardinal Michael Bernard Henderson. He let me borrow that. this is it. Number five. He says, be an example. My. Be an example. He says, one of the most disheartening sights. Oh, my God. I'm going to try to get through this. One of the most disheartening sights for a worship leader is to look out at the congregation and see the pastor distracted, working on sermon notes, or completely uninvolved. Oh, Lord. It says, you want to support your worship staff. Sing God's praise with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. That will not only encourage your worship leader, but you'll be giving God the glory he rightly deserves. Can we talk about that for a minute? I don't care who you are. When praising, when you start, when the worship service starts, you need to be engaged. You need to be engaged in what's going on. You cannot be distracted. You cannot have your thoughts elsewhere, because that worship team, that choir, that praise team, that musician, if he don't get nobody else's support in the congregation, pastor, apostle, he needs to have yours. Do y'all get that? He needs to have yours. So you can't be distracted and doing this and doing that. When you come to that pulpit or come to your seat, wherever it is, and that praise team leader is singing and giving his or her best and doing all that she can, and then you know that person, he or she can, and they turn around and they see you looking aloof, looking not interested, looking like there's so many other places you can be, or looking down at your watch like, well, how much longer are they going to be down here singing? Guess what? You've lost it, because not only have you discouraged your worship leader, my God, not only have you discouraged your worship leader, but you also discouraged your congregation, because the congregation is going to follow in lockstep what you do. They're going to follow in lockstep what you do. So if they see you being uninterested, I said this at the beginning, if they see you being uninterested, what do you think they're going to be doing? But if I had a pastor who recognized how good God was, come on now. This is when I need me an organ player. I need to help me tune up. If I had a pastor who recognized that this worship ain't about us, but it's about him, then that pastor would accompany me in worship, and then he would lead by example, and then the church would then follow the leader. Come on. Then the church, I wouldn't have to encourage the church to stand. I wouldn't have to encourage the church to clap if the pastor was already upstanding, if the pastor was already up clapping, if the pastor was already up giving him some glory, if the pastor was already doing it, if the pastor was up doing that, then guess what? The congregation follows what they see. They follow what they see. They see you being uninterested, uninvolved, and disconnected. Then you're going to have a congregation full of uninterested, uninvolved, and disconnected folk. And then when you do get a handful of folk to want to stand up, the majority of the folks sitting on the sideline doing what you're doing, going to look at the folks that's actually up praising and saying, they just up there just to be up there. They doing too much. I'm just trying to tell y'all, you cannot go through this thing and not recognize the importance and how important it is that these worship teams, whether it's a praise team or a choir, that they have your full support, not just in word, but in deed. Like the writer said earlier, Is the music department, is there a budget set aside for the worship team? Is there a budget set aside for the choir? Is there a budget set aside for the audio video ministry? Is there a budget set aside to make sure that this part of the service is accurate? Can I help you? Let me tell you something. It does no good for the pastor of the church to have the only good working microphone in the church, but you got choir who we can't hear and a praise team we can't hear, but you got the only good working microphone in the church. If you cared, you either would make sure that their mics are as at least equal to the mic you preaching in. Come on, somebody. Y'all might not want to hear it, but y'all know I ain't lying. It's the truth. It's the truth. We can hear you preach, but we can't hear them sing. It matters. It matters. It really does. And it's necessary that we don't allow these issues of importance to be left to their own devices, because the minute discouragement set in, now all of a sudden folks is missing. Now all of a sudden folks don't want to be a part. Now folks show up when they feel like it, do what they feel like, sing how they feel like, and make no effort to do anything different, because this is what you fostered. This is the behavior that you have encouraged. You have encouraged disunity. You have encouraged a lack of engagement by your actions. And as a pastor, when you do that, it's and I say this all the time, it's just like one of the things that they're talking about in this election. It's just like one thing to talk about in this election. Words and temperament matter. They do. Words and temperament matter. And when you are when you say certain things, or when your behavior shows a certain way, or acts in a certain style, people respond. Your words and actions have power. Your words and actions have power, and people respond to what they see you do. They respond to what they see you do. And when you do nothing, when you sit idly by and make no adjustments at all in your behavior when it comes to the church, then be surprised with the end result. You can't be surprised with the end result. You just can't be. There is no surprise when it comes to the end result. So my prayer is that we would recognize that we have to do a better job. We have to do a better job at encouraging and pushing our praise teams, and pushing our choirs, and pushing our musicians, and pushing them for the greater. Pushing them for the greater. Absolutely. Pushing them for the greater. It's only going to help. It's only going to help in the long run. It's only going to help in the long run. And I really, really hope we get this. Really, really hope we get this. Because if not, you're going to lose the battle. You're going to lose the battle. Because every time that you allow a seed of discouragement to creep in, there's going to be a problem. Every time you allow a seed of discouragement to creep in, you will have a problem. So my prayer, church, is that, man, I hope this article did something for you, because I'm going to tell you right now, it did something for me. It did something for me. It did. Because there is so much there that we need to do or recognize as a church and as leaders in the church that we can be doing better. So much that we could be doing better. But it's up to us. It's up to us to get it right. It's up to us to make sure that we're doing the necessary things to continue to push forward and stretch forward at times like this. It really is. It really is. Man, look, we only got, a few minutes left? I'm actually on time. Yeah, see, I was trying to be on time, and I am on time today. Bless the Lord. I'm on time. Ooh, phone about to die, so that means my camera about to die. But, you know, hey, that's what happens. We good. My. Look here, y'all. I'm going to take a real quick break. When we come back, just want to have a quick conversation with you. I believe Facebook Live just kicked me off. Yeah, it did. But that's okay. It just kicked me off. But we gonna stay good. It is Praise Break Friday. I'm going to be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here.
Anybody feel it tonight?
Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord.
All right. We are back. Yeah. So look, y'all, I have really enjoyed that article. I hope you got something out of it. I really, really hope you got something out of it. It was it was a great article. So glad we had that one today. And it was fitting for Praise Break Friday. It really was. It was fitting for a day like today, because it's necessary. I don't take, and I said this on last Sunday when I preached that I don't take praise and worship lightly. I understand the necessity for it, because I understand how effective it is in some people being set free. I understand how effective it is in people being released from strongholds. I understand how powerful it is when it comes to people being set free, as the Bible talks about Jesus setting the captives free. I understand exactly what that means, but the people who are responsible for leading that need your constant encouragement. They do. They need your constant encouragement, and I think the only thing we can do in situations like that, the only thing we can do is encourage them the best way we can. That's the only way we can do that. I do know Facebook Live cut off because my phone battery died. I did try to switch it to the computer, but I don't know if it's up or not. I see myself, but y'all ain't in the room. It's okay. The show about to end in about 4 minutes anyway. It's okay. But so much about that article was so relevant, and really, really hope that you all were able to get something from it. I really do. I really hope it was you were able to recognize the power of encouragement. And the points of the article were just absolutely amazing. They were absolutely amazing. Let me give them to you one more time. The first one, again, was. Oh my God, where's that? Yeah, lost it just that quick. Yeah, the first one was to engage, not engage. I'm sorry. Yes, the first one was to engage. Engage your worship team. Engage your worship team. The second one was to equip them. Equip them. Make sure they have what they need to be successful. Make sure they have what they need to be successful. Number three was encourage them. Encourage them. They need the encouragement. Number four, evaluate them. So important that you evaluate them so that they know where they're strong and where they need improvement. And then number five, be the worship example. Be the example. So, because guess what, Pastor? There are going to be some days that your worship leader comes to church and they might not have that energy, and they're going to look to you to give them that energy. They're going to look to you to be the one to spark them. So it's necessary that you be the one to lead by example in worship. It's absolutely necessary. There's no getting around it. It's just something that we absolutely have to do, and it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit that is done that way. It's absolutely for your benefit. Look, y'all, I got about 60 seconds before I get out of here. And we just bless your name right now. God, you've just been so wonderful to us, God. You've been just absolutely amazing to us, God. And there's so many things we could thank you for, God. God, I thank you for your safe travels coming up here to Ohio, God. God, I thank you for your safe travels. God, I thank you for my support staff, those back home in Chicago who are making sure that the show is still running the way it needs to run. God, I just thank you for that. God, I thank you for all those involved. God, I thank you for every listener, for every Facebook viewer, God, for every listener on the phone lines, for every listener via the internet on Blog Talk Radio. God, I just thank you for them. And I thank you for them, God, because they didn't have to be here, but they chose to be here. But it's in the matchless name of Jesus we do pray. Amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. See y'all Monday. Be blessed. Woo.
Tell somebody he is wonderful. Now put your preaching voice on. Say he is wonderful. There are a lot of things I could not do for myself, but he did them for me. Tell somebody he is wonderful. I brought my own shout with me. I just thought about it. I dare you to think about how wonderful it is. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. Look at somebody, say the Everlasting Father. Somebody just holler wonderful. I told y'all that was the word of the year. Look to your right and your left, say wonderful. May your week be wonderful. May the rest of your year be wonderful. May your whole life be. I don't mean to push this point, but is there anybody that has proven himself to be wonderful? Just go to about three people and say, he is wonderful.
Somebody's